I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
All right, should I go this boy?
That's one he's wearing, you know, full match.
So full match, yeah. Or this boy? And Ski, you got each, right?
I do. Oh, I don't have the neon green.
Huh.
So, no, I got the black and yellow.
So I should probably go this.
He's got the Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. Look how fucking big these hats are on my head. Jesus Christ.
Jeez, what size is that? Like 8 3/4?
Good question.
I'm rocking a 7.5. Do I have a small head?
I'm 7 1/4.
This is 3 quarters.
We're running the close spectrum there.
So's this, by the way. My head is swimming in this hat. I like it though. I like the style of it.
Like
better too big.
Fernando Rodney styling of hats.
No, because then I'd have to go like this.
Yeah.
There we go.
No, it's not that much. It's just a slight. It was like that.
I feel like you haven't actually seen Fernando Rodney.
I have. He's just doing.
I had my time with when he was with the Oakland Athletics. I had a little bit of time with Fernando Rodney, so I definitely remember him.
I think almost everyone has had some time with Fernando Rodney.
Yes.
Did Fernando Rodney invent the bow and arrow?
I mean, him or, you know, ancient China? I don't know.
Yeah, someone on Shogun definitely invented it first, I guarantee you. Link or whatever, I know, did it first.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, in sports parlance. Because, like, I remember when Travis Kelce was doing it, I was like, he's not the first. Fernando Rodney. And then, like, when Michael Penix Jr. is doing it this year, I was like, okay, bud, you're, like, number 12.
Didn't Wes Matthews do it, or did he do something else?
He did it, too, but Rodney had to do it first.
They were like the same time, I thought.
They might have been. You're probably about right. Yeah.
Huh.
Wesley Matthews and Fernando Rodney invented the bow and arrow, I think.
Yeah. All right. Put it in the history books.
Yeah.
I would love that, by the way. You're looking in a dictionary, bow and arrow, and you see a picture of Fernando Rodney sideways.
Just leave out sports celebration. Just bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Exactly. It had nothing to do with hunters and gatherers. It was just a relief pitcher for the Mets.
All right, let's for the Mets, by the way, of all the teams.
I told you.
Yeah.
All of it.
All right, let's make a decision on this. Somebody make a decision for me. I can't do it.
Oh, Wales. Come on, man.
All right.
It's a better visual experience for everyone.
I like that. Yeah, it kind of matches. I got bluish shirt on too. All right, cool. Right on. All right, let's start the podcast. Welcome, Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod, Ski at TSB Ski, King at Jeromny. We are on Twitter. We are also in Discord. Find it, Sports Brewery in Discord. That's a fun place to hang out. You can send us movie suggestions in there. You can bullshit with us about sports. You can look at what Duck Chef is cooking on a regular basis at the Washington in glorious Bend. Now's a good time to go to Bend, right? I think it's like snowing again there. If you want to hit some snow. Yeah. In April, fucking go there, I guess. That's a thing.
This opening has been brought to you by Deschutes County. Yeah. Deschutes County.
I will be...
Where the sun is warm and the waters are cool.
Hey,
Deschutes
listener,
County.
Hey, listener, can you tell we three are shooting for some free dinners here? Can you tell? We got to get something out of this fucking podcast, okay? Like, all right. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to work for the team here, so... Help me help you is all I'm saying.
You're the Fernando Rodney of this podcast. Just
coming in relief.
Trying to close it out for us.
Bow and arrow. Thank you. Also, we are on Twitch right now, as a matter of fact. Every Thursday around 7:30, 7:45, twitch.tv/abrog87. That is when we record this podcast you are listening to live. So if you want to watch it live, get in our chat, bullshit with us. As you can hear when you listen to the podcast, we shout out the people who talk to us in the chat. So get in there, interact. It's cool. Whatever. Movie on Sunday. It's my movie.
So let's preface this. This was not my movie.
No. This
it was
not. This was my movie. It is a movie from my childhood that I remembered fondly, and it is Biodome. It's on Prime.
Prime.
And so you can watch it on Prime and listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Biodome. Pauly Shore. Did you need to know that? All right. Watch it.
Stephen Baldwin.
Of all the Baldwins, Stephen in this one. Yep. Went from Usual Suspects in one year, Biodome the next year. Stephen Baldwin. Ladies and gentlemen.
Usually I say my fun facts for the movie pod.
Oh, a little teaser for Sunday.
Pauly Shore was actually signed on to be in Usual Suspects as well. He didn't get it, so they made Biodome together.
He didn't get it, so they hired Kevin Spacey instead. All right. Cool.
He was not Kaiser Sose.
Okay, cool. Right on. That would be fucking brilliant. Imagine Usual Suspects with Pauly Shore's. By the way, spoiler ski, Jesus. Telling everybody it's Kaiser Sose. Shit. All right. Where do we want to start?
Can we start with
go for it.
How shitty spring is.
Yeah.
Do people actually like spring? I know King's a big spring guy because he loves the sun and gardening and shit like that.
I am not a big spring guy. It was 41 degrees on my drive home today. What the fuck are you talking about?
You love spring because it's, summer's right around the corner when spring starts hitting.
Yes. Spring ends in March. It is April. I don't want spring anymore.
Yeah, it would be wonderful if Oregon would make up its fucking mind about what the weather is going to fucking be. Like, we cannot have 75 on a Sunday and then 40 and rainy on a Wednesday. Like, insane. Fuck off.
Literally, I saw snow on the top of Mount Baldy, or whatever you call the Coburg Hills today. Snow. It was snow capped. And on Tuesday, it was 78 degrees. What are we doing here?
I was ready, my dudes. I was ready. Like, I was, I had the sun. By the way, look at me. Look at how pale I am. I'm not made for the sun. We know this. I was ready for the sun. I was like, oh, let me soak it in. Yes, give me the sunburn on my neck, please. I want the sunburn. I want it to hurt when I lay down and when I take a shower. Oh, give me that sweet, sweet sunburn. I want it so bad. And then it's fucking 40 degrees like the next day.
Insane.
I'm over it. Over
today.
So we've talked about me going for runs and stuff, right? Like, you see me going for runs. On that 78 degree day, I ordered two new running shirts. No sleeves from Nike. I ordered two new running shirts. Next day, 40 degrees and rainy. Fuck you.
Yeah, you'll be rocking those in like mid-May now.
if that, dude. Shooting for June.
The thing that pisses me off about spring rain is it's different than winter rain, where in my car, I can just hit the windshield wiper speed in, November, January, February, December, whatever. And I can just get a consistent today and yesterday. I'm like, it's either the windshield wiper is going too slow, so I can't see for 7 seconds at a time, or it's going too fast where it's driving me nuts. And it's on like the fourth little thing. It's just dirt. Spring rain is the worst.
Dirt and pollen. No, like, I got a tree right next to where I park my car. It drops these little fucking pollen things, like these little flower things from the tree, and they're in my windshield. Or long ass, big ass streaks where I still can't even see shit. I gotta wash my car with all of this fucking, like, these leaves that are falling, like these flowers and shit that are falling down, getting stuck to my car because it's raining now. I gotta wash my car while it's raining. Fuck off, Oregon.
Yeah, spring's the worst. Spring. I know you
fuck off, spring.
Like, you complain about fall and winter. At least it stays consistent, and you just know it's going to be, just 5 or 6 months of just, slit your wrist weather. But the spring weather, yeah, like you said,
beautiful, beautiful day out there the other way, other week there. And now, yeah, hunkered down in a fucking sweatshirt.
Yeah. We are hunkering down again.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I can't stop sneezing and my eye is itching like I have herpes in my eyeball. It's the worst.
Got a little pink eye. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Man, it happens. It happens.
The worst. I hate spring. I hate it.
I had two heaters on in my house today. Two of them. Two heaters. My heating bill was $80 this month. Heating bill was $80. No. Heat is separate from electricity. I got the electricity the heating bill. It was insane. Okay. And I was like, all right, well, at least this is going to be the last month I got to deal with this kind of bill. All right. Okay, April. Cool, man. Right on. So we're doing this some
more. That is funny. So, like, there's, like, a few months out of the year where I just don't give a fuck about the E-Web bill. Whatever. You know, I have kids. We put up Christmas lights. It is what it is. Blah, blah, blah. It's cold. So there's, you know, December, January, February. I don't really look.
Tell me your thermostat watching dad now. Once it hits spring here, you're like.
Well, I mean, we just got a bill for $315 from E-Web, so. I mean, yes, I am now looking, I am now every single fucking day charting this shit on my fucking Echo Bee. It's insane. It's too much.
Yeah, WCP says his is sitting at 64. That's what I do.
That's too cold. 64?
I set mine at like 66, I think it is, and I leave it. And I don't touch it for like 6 months, basically. But now, wow. But now is the time. Now it's like, if you know, it's like we're reaching the point where might as well just turn it off, right? Like
So when it's December and the nights go into the teens and it's January and it's in the teens, you just leave it at 66?
I do, yeah. And then if I need a space heater or something, I'll just bring it where I am.
Do you dress like George Costanza in like the liquor store with his Gore-Tex jacket?
The puffy jacket.
Puffy jacket? Okay. Yeah, yeah. See, I can't do that. I want to be comfortable. All right.
Look, yeah. you got to walk around in your tank, you know? That's what tanks are for. I'm not going to wear my tank around the house.
What's your therm at, Ski?
That's a constant battle in my house. The one person who is constantly freezing and the other person who is constantly sweating because it's too hot. So I sneak in and try to set it like 66. I'm like Braga. I want it set cold.
Yeah. I prefer being cold and being, I know like contradicts everything I just said over the last like 15 minutes, but I prefer being like cold and wearing a hoodie than sweating and like having clothes off. I'd rather not be in my house with my shirt off, you know.
I mean, I'm a cold sleeper. I love when my room is freezing cold. Like I have no problem turning that shit off at night. Like even in December, get it off. Love it. Yeah. It's great. I'll open a window sometimes. It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. But during the daytime, man, 70 degrees.
It's the morning is more the getting out of bed to cold is.
Well, and like the shitty thing about like my house is because our master bathroom faces the north and it doesn't get any sun like throughout the year, the backside of our house. So when I take a shower, if it's anything colder than like 60 degrees, the humidity gets insane. So I either have to jack up the heat so I don't get like a mold problem or open a window. So there's like a whole like conundrum there. It's the worst.
Oh, mini. Oh, just for a movie, I got your own little mini ecosystem in your bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. It's terrible. And it's the only, and it's, yeah, it's just, it's, it drives me nuts. It always has.
Got to get a dehumidifier, my guy.
We actually did buy one this year for our bedroom because it's the same general premise. And then we got some of those, liquid box. I don't even know what you call them. These little like boxes that you can put on like your toilet or near a window and it grabs the moisture. It fills up with water and it's gross. So it's gross. Wow. It really, it picks up excess moisture. You're not familiar with this concept?
Grabbing excess moisture from around your toilet is what you're saying?
Well, no, you can put it on your toilet. You can put it on an eave, like by a window. You can put it anywhere.
That sounds like splash up. That sounds like it's gathering splash up from your toilet.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just this little box.
Okay.
Okay. You're making it sound like I'm collecting poop. I'll show you.
Viva Los Biodome. Oh, you guys are in for a treat for this Sunday's movie. Holy shit. By the way, King just left.
He went to go grab it. He needs to
show you. Oh, he's grabbing the thing? Oh, okay.
He's grabbing the thing. There it is.
You box?
Moisture put somewhere, and it just, I don't know, it does its thing. It's from China. I don't know. Right. They're more advanced than we are.
Science.
Yeah, and it absorbs the moisture. And I didn't realize how much moisture there really was until in my bathroom until this winter when we bought some of these.
Hey, can we somehow adapt this technology to underpants for the summertime? Is that, or have the Chinese come up with that yet? I mean, I would buy those in a heartbeat during the summertime.
I don't think you want these beads sitting on your beads, you know what I mean.
Could you put them in?
I feel like they're poisonous.
Put them in like a pouch or something. Are you talking about his beads or those beads? Which ones are poisonous? Yeah,
both beads. Everyone's beads. Everyone's too much beads.
Oh boy. All right. Well, we've had our hot spring weather talk. All right, what else we got? Oh, can we have a conversation about something you touched on, King? Sleeping in the nude. Anybody still doing that anymore?
I hate it.
Did you ever do it?
No.
Yeah.
Roll over on my dick. It gets caught. It's terrible. You got to keep it tucked. It's some sort of.
See, I've gone through phases in my life, man. Like in my 20s, I slept with like boxers on. In my 30s, I went through a phase of just like sleeping naked. And I don't know what it was. Like I just did it. I don't know. But then the last like, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I went back to wearing shorts. Wear shorts and a t-shirt, like a shirt like this, basically.
I feel like it kind of differs. Like for me, it's the same thing as like if I'm home alone and I'm showering or pooping. Hey, everyone poops. I don't mean, you know, I hate to break that news, everyone. But if I'm in a vulnerable situation like that and I'm home alone and I'm naked, I lock the bathroom door. Because I don't want to get killed in that situation.
Oh.
And it's the same thing when I'm sleeping. I don't want to get killed nude. And it's body dysmorphia. It's, you know, it's MTV telling me I'm ugly. It's all Natalie Imbruglia, you know, I body image stuff. But, you know, that's why I have to wear short. I have to wear boxers. Sometimes I'll wear whatever. We haven't figured out the cotton ribbed, you know, shirts with no, you know.
What we're calling those?
Yeah, I don't know what we're calling them.
Are those tanks too? Can we call tanks?
Yeah, rib tanks. But yeah, I just can't do the nude sleeping thing. It just I don't want to be found by the fuzz, you know.
In your fuzz, yeah.
Because I think about it, if you're in the pool, it's bad enough. You've been dead for a while. Rigor mortis sets in. I don't need that picture ever being leaked.
You know, like. Just to that point, I think relative to the bodies that, you know, people come across, like, you know, medical professionals and, you know, whatever, people from the morgue who come gather bodies and stuff like that, relative to those bodies, you're probably like a celebrity, my guy.
Of course. Like I'm saying,
You're fucking John Cena over here. Except they can see you.
I'm on social media. I just see beautiful people all the time, and it makes me feel super ugly. And I just have a body image problem. Sorry.
I'm sorry, man.
It is what it is.
You're beautiful. I think you're beautiful.
I wish I was more. I wish I was more content with it, like you are. You know, I get killed. Cops come in. They take pictures of me just laying spread eagle, everything going. I mean, I just can't do it.
Like it's a temperature thing too, man. Like, cause I think lately I have been like colder, and so I just want to wear clothes. And whereas I used to sweat all the time, and is that like a thing that happens when you turn 40?
Age,
Like, is that
old age happening? Yes. Right. You're constantly get colder. Which right. I actually can't wait for. I can't wait till my body temps just like will be cold. You can just layer up, wear more blankets.
Ready for it, man. Blankets are the best. Blankets are the best. And we're old now. We buy like comfortable blankets and shit. We can afford like nice comforters and sheets and stuff. Like, it's the best.
High thread counts now.
Beds that aren't on the floor, you know?
Right? that was one of the first like real adult things I did was buy a bed frame that my bed sits on.
But oh my God.
Too long in my life, I had a bed that was on the floor. Too long.
Our bed frame is a fucking monster. It's insane. And so last weekend, the wife and I were like, okay, you know, we've got a California King bed, you know, and this stupid bed frame. And it's like, okay, you know, every like, you know, probably two or three times a year, we have to like fully clear out the bottom of the bed because shit'll just go under there. A water bottle, you know, just a Skittles bag, something weird will go under. And there's just kind of dust that just regular vacuuming can't get to. But the bed frame is 10,000 pounds, so it's impossible to move. So we have to take like big, like wood, like 2x4s, like on each side. It's
like you have to like jack up sides to.
Yes. And we were like, okay, on Sunday, we're going to do it. And then we realized at like 10 in the morning, oh, it's Easter. We'll just use that as our excuse to not clean under our bed because I'm not moving that bed frame, man. It's just too much. It's too much.
Also, who's judging you guys? It's just you two. I mean,
just every once in a while, yeah. I'll like a controller or something will drop and I'll look and I'm like, oh, I can't grab that water bottle or whatever it is. And I'm just, that's suck.
It's like looking under your kid's bed too, because your kid like will have candy under there, and you know I'm not even going to like teenage kid under bed.
I was gonna
stuff.
Say I don't no. think I think he's close to the age where that room's just it's just as is now.
You I mean, need to never check under that bed. No. Yeah, no. No, but like when they're in like elementary school and shit, like they have like literal trash that has been under there for weeks, and you go under there and like, Jesus Christ, kid, just throw this in the garbage. Do you want like it's like Archer? Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
That's how you get it.
Yeah.
Thank you. So last week was spring break, and my youngest out of like the 8 possible nights to sleep away from home during spring break, because, you know, like Sunday would have been the 9th night, doesn't count. He was gone for 6 of them. Well, my oldest took, you know, the last like 4 of those to his advantage and had a couple of friends spend the night, you know, blah, blah, blah. I walk into his room like Sunday afternoon. I'm like, my guy, I see fucking 19 Baja Blast cans. Clearly ate popcorn in like 4 different bowls. There are gummy bears that I didn't buy you. Like, exactly. Go get the shit out of here because we're going to get ants, man. I don't want ants.
Where did you get those gummy bears? Tell me who bought you those gummy bears.
What? And you go, I walked to the store. You told me to. I didn't tell you to. That did not happen. Ah, I did. It's like, shit, I wanted 20 minutes of peace and quiet.
Sounds like you need to get a hold of the Chinese again and get one of those little robots that go, you know, by themselves. That'll solve your under the bed cleaning problem.
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, speaking of the candy under the bed thing, like Easter being last weekend, there's going to be some of that. So,
yeah.
You don't have to hide it. Like, I got. There's no fucking bunny. I got you this candy. Eat it in front of me. Throw it in the trash when you're done. I don't care. Like you don't have to hide things from me. What are you doing? Fucking dorks. Kids, am I right?
Am I right?
I mean, am I right? Sports?
Sports!
Sports. So, I don't know where to start, really. I mean, we could go with women's basketball.
Let's do the race talk on women's basketball. Let's do it.
Okay. So what was that?
You going Don Imus with this?
No, because I just saw the story about it. It was so Iowa and LSU played, and then somebody wrote and made a big deal about them not standing for the anthem or something like that. Where
they weren't on the floor. Yeah,
they weren't on the floor. That was it. Yeah. And by the way, like the other game, they weren't out of the locker room, which is a standard thing now. Like they don't come out,
especially in college. Yeah, especially in college.
Yeah, they just don't do that. So somebody was, you know, race baiting because Angel Reese and, you know, LSU weren't standing for the anthem and doing all of this stuff. And by the way, Caitlin Clark and Iowa also didn't do it. Also, neither of the other teams did it, but they conveniently didn't mention that. So, you know,
the Louisiana governor has spent 48 hours hitting Newsmax, Fox News, all the telling them if they're not going to be on the court for the anthem, they can get out of state and get out of the state. It's like, dude, it's been a thing for
forever.
Go to a college football game. Teams aren't on the floor for the national anthem. Some basketball teams are, but it's a minority. Even at that,
don't say minority, my guy.
But, you know, but for college sports, it's national anthem. And then the lights come on, you know, or go dark. And then it's like, whatever, we're rumbling in the Rockies, you know. And they come out and they do their – it's not the same as pro sports. It's just not. Hasn't been. It's like, how we're still doing this in 2024 is insane.
And here's the thing I don't understand. Like, it's LSU. Like, the criticism is at LSU. Like, why are you, as the Louisiana governor, going after LSU? Like, Kim Mulkey is their coach. Like, they don't need your help with this. Like, are they, you know what I mean? Like, why are you going after your own school when it comes to this? Like, chill the fuck out. Like
the whole thing when I was seeing anthem discourse, I was like, oh my God. Are we just going to do this every 18 months?
Yeah,
is this just a thing? Right? Yeah. We're like 9-10 years into this. Is this just a thing we're going to do every year and a half? Because please, can we just stop?
I got a solution to this. Can we just stop doing the national anthem altogether? I get it for, you know, July 4th, you know, a baseball game on July 4th and, you know, actual like national holidays. It makes sense. Does it really have to be for every fucking sport and every fucking game every time?
I got you. I got your answer on this. And WCP just said it in the chat, too. The Department of Defense literally pays the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. They don't do it for college, but I don't think so anyway. But they literally pay the pro sports leagues money so they will do the anthem. And they will do flybys and they will do all of this stuff.
And what's insane is I think it was the first NBA season. So like 2021, the year the Bucks and Suns played, I guess, in the finals. The Mavericks didn't do the national anthem for like their first like 30 home games of the year, whatever it was. And no one noticed, partially because even in Texas, there wasn't a lot of attendance that year still. You know, it was partial crowds.
Yeah.
And no one noticed. Until like one person finally mentioned it on Twitter, and then it blew up, and the Mavs had to say, "Oh fuck it, we'll just Christ, we've gone through, you know, 30 games, no one cared, right. No one noticed. We'll do it. Okay, we're doing it again." But I think the U.S. is one of the few countries that does it for like non-national events. I totally get
that's
Olympics, you know, whatever weird basketball tournaments or whatever we do, the CONCACAF Cup or whatever the fuck we do in soccer, champions. That's a real league, not U.S. But you know what I mean. Like for some of those, okay, I get it. You're wearing the stars in the stars in the bar. Do it. But if it's you know when it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Utah Jazz on December 21st, is anyone really feeling patriotic about it? And yep. I say this as someone who has been to a few big bowl games where they do that shit and then they'll fly, jets over your head. That shit's rad. I don't swell with American pride. I'm not crying over the Band of Brothers and Black Hawk Down or anything, but I'm just like, oh, this shit's visually cool. That propaganda, it's propaganda, but that shit's visually cool. I like that. Dude, but do I really need it for Oregon versus Texas Southern on November 3rd at Matthew Knight Arena? Not really.
That's the thing. Specialty events, Super Bowl, July 4th. I'll even give you bowl games too. And how about, hey, maybe you do it for the opener, the first home game there. And then done. You did it once. You're done. We don't need it every fucking game. That's one of the worst things having to deal with going to like Oregon basketball games every fucking time. And they bring out just the worst people to sing the national anthem. It's like, come on. It's beginning to be almost a reason to not go to the games. A lot of it's become an annoyance.
Well, that's things like, especially in college, they'll bring out people that sing, and it's like, it's either, 90 seconds because they're scared, or it's 4.5 minutes because this 9-year-old girl, and you know who I'm talking about this year, I think, at the basketball game, really fucking into it.
I say it on here? I was at that game with my mom, and she was uncontrollably laughing throughout it. Like every
it was
time,
terrible.
Every time it was like she would laugh, and then that little girl would do something just like take it up another level, and she just start cracking up through almost the whole thing.
It's a free show, I guess.
And then she
was
on national TV doing an NBA game.
No,
yeah, I was like. Three weeks ago.
Oh God!
You brought the Nuggets. It might have been at a Nuggets game.
Ew. Ew.
And then all of Twitter started jumping on it.
Well, good. It's terrible. Ooh. She was terrible. Susie.
She's like 9 years old.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's young. Oh yeah. But it was like she had stars and bars, pigtails, braces.
White gloves,
boots, sequin.
Like a pageant kid.
Yes, it was
insane. It was so over the top. Jeez. No one was feeling it. But go America.
We got some stuff in the chat. We should be talking about how shit our anthem is, especially compared to Canada's, which is a banger. WCP says, "This land is our land," gets his vote for new anthem. And then Booble says, "America the Beautiful" or "Higher" by Creed.
Oh, man. You
can take
me higher to a place where blind mercy.
So that does bring up an interesting point. You said Canada. I just know from watching Shorzy that they do the Canadian national anthem for every hockey game. So it's not just America.
That's fair enough. Or I do love when you go to like a Blazers game and they're playing the Raptors and they play the Canadian one. It's like, do you think DeMar DeRozan gives a shit about the Canadian anthem? They're not newsflash. They're not Canadian.
Nobody on your team is Canadian.
RJ Barrett is.
Ah, fair enough.
All right, you got him, Ski.
I just got Creed stuck in my head. This
you
is
got him. Yeah, yeah. Creed is in there now, folks. You're welcome. All 12 of you who listen to us, you just got Creed stuck in your head. So the Iowa LSU game was fun.
That was a good game. It's great. Yeah, delivered as hell.
Absolutely, man. That is one thing about Caitlin Clark is, you tune in to see Caitlin Clark, and she is going to score 30-plus points in that game. If you have not watched an Iowa game all year, you're like, you know what? I'll check out Caitlin Clark. She's going to score 30. She's going to have, like, 8 to 12 assists. Like, she is the best player on the court. And she – by the way, I think I said it in the Discord during the game. I was like, she is a chucker, and it works. Like, she takes ridiculous shots where she's like falling away with a hand in her face, like shots that nobody should be taking. Like, nobody. Like, Dame doesn't take those shots. When Dame takes logo threes, it's because the guy backed like 5 feet off of him and he's wide open. Like, she is doing jump backs, falling away and shooting those and knocking him down. It's like, she's unbelievable, man. She's hella fun to watch.
The only watchable thing of all of Iowa sports.
Sure.
Yes. No. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Only watchable Iowa sport thing since Brad Banks in like 2002 or something at quarterback. I think he finished second in the Heisman to Carson.
Was he? Oh,
wow.
I think so. And they played in the Orange Bowl and the SC beat him like 55-4.
I love me some George Kittle. I've never seen one college highlight of George Kittle. Not one.
I have seen one, actually.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, and it was like a 5-yard pass, and you would never know it was George Kittle.
Yep.
Because clean cut, no tats, no celebrations, just peak Iowa. I catch touchdown, I handball to ref, I run back, I sprint back to sideline.
So he didn't do the stone cold beer celebration back in college?
Not so much. No, not so much. Yeah.
Interesting.
Weird.
Weird. Yeah, good point by Booble in the chat too. Ha 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 ha. Mulkey lost. Ha 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 ha. Yeah. Kim Mulkey sucks.
Mulkey.
She sucks.
The thing about that game, and it's a college thing, especially. You see it sometimes in the pros. But I complained about this shit with Oregon basketball on the men's side this year. Fighting underneath screens on threes is insane. It's 2024. Never go underneath a screen Never. On the perimeter. And that's all LSU did. And like I said, the Oregon men's team did it all year too. And it just it drives me nuts. 5-6 years ago, okay, no one caught up to it. You don't go under screens. Fight through it. Like, by going underneath it, you're going to get an open shot. Like, spoiler, that's just how the mechanics of that work.
And they're going to make it because everybody, that's all they do anymore. All they do is shoot threes. All practice, all game, they're going to make them. Don't back off.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to say the game is passing Kim Mulkey behind?
I'm saying she's washed. Yeah.
She washed. Well, once she loses,
she ran everything, ran under screens every time on the perimeter. She had Haley Van Lith guarding Caitlin Clark the whole game when she was getting toasted. And even before this game, it was very clear that Haley Van Lith was not very good this year at LSU. And surprise, surprise, she entered the portal today because it just wasn't a good fit. Kim Mulkey, trash, washed, terrible. You're at Auerbach now. Get out of here. Don't need you. You're Dean Smith. You're old. Get out of here. Washed.
All right. So on that note, should we maybe talk about Kelly Graves?
And before we move on, I mean that in
the most respectful way you possibly can when comparing somebody to somebody who's washed.
I just want to add one more thing to LSU Iowa.
Yeah.
Is, and I kind of mentioned this last year when they played. You know, Angel Reese getting on there and talking about death threats and like the AI, like naked nude pictures. That shit's deranged. That shit's crazy. Absolutely never fucking do that. That's fucking weird and gross and abusive. But when your quotes all year is, I'm the villain, we're good villains, I'll be the villain. The villain role isn't meant for everyone. It wasn't meant for LeBron James. LeBron James tried to be the villain his first year in Miami. Didn't work. Didn't like it. And then he did a movie with, what's her name? The blonde lady who no one cares about anymore.
Amy Schumer.
And he's wholesome again. Ah, we love LeBron. Until he won a couple more championships, got close to Mike, and then we hated him again. But he didn't like the villain role. Draymond Green loves the villain role. He wears it. And when he makes an ass of himself, he just still leans into it for the most part. I don't think Angel Reese is an asshole. I think Draymond Green is an asshole. But when you lose, I have a hard time with her doing the crying routine where it's like, but you asked for this. Like, and again, some of the stuff, I'm sure her mentions are brutal, but Twitter mentions and Instagram mentions, that's what that's for. It's a shithole. Like, It's just a cesspool. It doesn't matter who you are. It's terrible. But when you, but for real people like journalists, and again, like that Ben Bulch guy for the LA Times wrote a really shitty column when they played UCLA last week, you know, about LSU women's basketball. So there's some validity to it. But if you're going to say we're the villain, I'm the villain, black hat, black cape, I have a hard time when you first lose being like, this isn't fair. We're humans.
Right.
Not, maybe I'm an asshole about that. I could definitely be an asshole. And if you guys think I'm an asshole about it, that's
no. Not, it's fine. Not everyone could be the heel.
No, and LSU was being the heel. And if they had won that game, they would, because Kim Mulkey's a heel. Haley Van Lith, her 2 years at Louisville, was the heel. And this whole thing with the Tony Yayo, John Cena, you can't see me thing, yeah. Caitlin Clark kind of started because she did it at Haley Van Lith in Louisville, and then Angel Reese did it to Caitlin Clark. So there's, you know, circle of life there. But you when you come out every game and you're wearing a crown, like a literal crown, don't be surprised when people are eagerly trying to knock that shit off your head. Like, that's just the territory there.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird, it's weird for us, like on the outside of this, because there's, like you said, there's no place for the stuff that she had thrown at her. You know, like there is a line with sports hate where that should not be crossed. And those are the things that she was talking about. Like, that shit should not happen in modern society, period, to anybody. There's no, because then it sounds like we're victim blaming almost in that case, which we don't want to do. Yeah, we don't want
to
do that.
I'm not trying to do that.
No, no. But also there is something that goes into you flat out saying we are the villains. We embrace that role, that some of that is going to come with it. And you need to be ready for it before you make those public statements, before you do the things to the players you're going against. That's part of it. Should it be part of it? I don't know. Maybe not. It is, though.
No, this is terrible.
It is. And it always has been. And so you got to know that going into that situation. It's gross. Like, it absolutely is gross. But you know that going into it. So I'm sort of with you. Like, playing the victim is part of that rubs me the wrong way. But also part of me is like, well, people were crossing the line and
100,
they shouldn't.
No,
do it.
So, 1,000%.
I'm sort of with you on it. Yeah.
But we're just in a different age where when she'll sit there and say, I haven't been happy since we won the title. But as someone who doesn't even follow her on any social platform, you know, 4, 5, 6 times after about, you know, the first 2 months after them winning the title, you'll see her go viral for telling people like, you're a poor boy loser, or, you know, flashing money. It's like, you are of the age. You know what that brings. And again, death threats, that shit's so out of bounds. It's insane. But normal brushback, like it reminds me a little bit of probably like 2.5, 3 years ago. Was it Osaka in tennis, who was saying that booze were giving her depression issues? And it's like, okay, it's a boo, like that.
It's sports.
I don't want to tell you how your mental stability is. Like, that's, I'm not a professional. I'm not you. I'm not any of that. But when you're saying I'm skipping this event because people are booing me, go to an NBA game. When Oregon plays Portland State and the Vikings come out of the tunnel, they get booed. Like, there's just a point here where it's normal sportsery. And that shit gets crossed all the time across spectrums. You know, hop into like any athlete's mentions, and that shit's gross because social media is gross. But some of the stuff, it's like, it just comes with it. I don't want to hear you saying the crowd booing you is giving you depression. I don't relate to that. If I'm an asshole about that, I'm an asshole about that. if you know, and if you want to be the villain, but you don't like the pushback you're getting, because it's as popular as the women's game has gotten, and it especially is this tournament, because there's awesome storylines and awesome players. If LSU just toned it down a little bit in November, December, no one was watching. We weren't paying attention. And we don't pay attention to the men's game in November, December either. This isn't a men's and women's issue. Nationally, we don't care about college basketball anymore. You're not going to get it as much as you do, but you're building your brand. And when you're building your brand, like Jake Paul and Logan Paul, they're building their brand on being asshole villains too. And I bet you their mentions are full of either gross people or gross people supporting them.
they built their brand on YouTube. They know what disgusting comments are.
Like, exactly.
That's their whole thing.
And it's a hard thing, and I'm harping too much on it. And I, again, some of the stuff she talked about, that's so over the line. But just people rooting for you to fail, welcome to sports.
Well, you're seeing that more with in the NBA. Like, we've seen like Russell Westbrook have like people kicked out of like their seats in arenas. Some of them like warranted if they got, you know, racist at all with it. But some of them had just been people talking shit to him and he just can't take it.
Well, and even this week he did his thing for like the fourth time where he said he got mad at someone in the family. I don't know if they got kicked out, but they called him Westbrick. And yeah. He said, my great-grandfather and my father and his grandfather, they had the Westbrook name. It's very important to them. My kid now knows what that means. I'm sorry. Your kid is going to the best private school amongst kids that are also worth $100 million. His life is fine. If a kid comes out to him and goes, your dad shoots 32% from the field. You want to know what? I don't relate to that, man. I don't. And he's like 3 years into complaining about that. Again, like a couple years ago when he was leaving the tunnel and people threw popcorn and soda on him. That crosses the line insane. But when you do go to a game, you can boo. Westbrook isn't offensive. You call him West Bitch? Okay. Yeah. I got that. Westbrick. When I heard him doing that again, I think it was on Tuesday. I was like, really? You're still doing these monologues about your great, great grandfather and the last name. Like, is it, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're mere plebes and I don't understand it, but he's never that thing. And like they're booing me. So I'm skipping Indian Wells this year. I'm not getting on that.
These are millionaire problems. Like these.
Yes,
are
This is my son knows what Rick means now. Well, sorry, Russ, you're not an efficient shooter. What do you want us to say?
And I would say nowadays this is toned down. Go back to the 80s and 90s of like people hanging around like the bullpens. Those guys in the bullpen must have heard some of the worst shit fucking imaginable.
Well, and like even now, if you go to a baseball game and you're around the bullpens, because most of them now have open access to it because they want that. They have people sitting there. If you're saying something that's too egregious, you're gone.
But like I said, in the 80s and 90s, it was a free for all. There was no
100%
doubt or anything like that.
Okay. Shift topics. Do we want to talk about Kelly Graves at all?
Because
a couple things. Yeah, you know, like, and it sucks because I do like the guy as a guy. He's a really good dude. Again, we've talked about it on the podcast a bunch. Like, really good dude in the community. Like, fantastic. Apparently, maybe not. I don't know, but like, seemingly a really cool guy. But he keeps getting these good recruits, and they keep transferring. Like, every single one of them leaves. They lost 21 games in a row to end the season. And then this,
after losing 13 in a row last year.
And then this poll comes out where he's apparently the second most hated. Like, there was a poll that came out that asked, like, you know, random women's college basketball players, which coach they would least want to play for. And number one by a lot was Kim Mulkey. Number two was Kelly Graves. And I saw that and was like, what? I mean, it makes sense with all these players transferring out. And I imagine, you know, all of them were players who were transferring out for whatever reason. I don't know the reason. I kind of wish I did, because it would help explain what the fuck's going on. How a guy can go from, you know, coaching the Sabrina team to what?
Beating the USA team, from that to losing like 20 players over the last 3 years.
Beating Diana Taurasi and Team USA to, in that year that should have been a national championship if not for COVID, to where they are now. What happened? I would love to know what happened. Maybe we'll get a fucking book in 10 years or something like that. But as it sits right now, you cannot lose your last 21 games of the year, have your best players transfer out, and remain the head coach. Like, you just can't.
I mean, like, this is not a defense of him, but it's the same thing with Dana Altman. It's very apparent Oregon NIL is all in on football and just tapping the toe in the water on basketball. Because I saw a story this week that every person in the rotation for South Carolina, there's like 7 or 8 rotation players, they're all making 6 figures. Some of them are making substantially more. I'm assuming Tahina Pau Pau is one of those on probably the middle end of the 6 figures. But that's, you know, if they're, or I saw a story and get, is internet stuff, could be complete bullshit. They thought they had Dalton Knecht, the guy who went to Tennessee. Yep. Tennessee came in and it was like the difference between $400,000 and $500,000. Granted, $100,000 is nothing to sneeze at. But if Division Street is really a Nike entity, give that guy $100,000 more. You can't lose that. Or with the women, whatever that figure is. I think that is a factor, but also there is something on the Kelly Graves side where he's hiring too many people that won't tell him no. There's been the whispers ever since COVID that he only works in Eugene when he's contractually obligated to, and he lives in Black Butte, you know, the rest of the year. And when I hear that, I was like, shit, I have heard him on the radio a bazillion times from Black Butte. Like, maybe there's validity to that. Like, and I would assume at this point in 2024, we would know if he was like this super like abusive, you know, type coach. I don't think that's what it is.
I'd be really surprised.
I'd be really surprised, but there's clearly some NIL is some of it, but there's clearly a disconnect with him, with the players as well, because, or the staff in general, because it's just not, the drop is insane. It was, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four, would have won the title, Sweet 16, first round, no tournament, lost 13 straight games. This year, no tournament, lost 21 straight games. Like, that is an insane drop. And I think if they fired him today, it would be like 5 years left on his contract, close to $7 million, which for a football coach can be a single year. So there's an argument that that's not a lot of money, but when you need the pie on the U of O athletic department, they probably don't want to eat $7 million, you know, but the program's dead. I mean, why would you go to a game next year? They're not getting anyone excited. You know, of course, if they start 14-1 and they're playing number 4 Michigan State or something, yeah, of course, Matthew Knight will be packed. But realistically, shit's going to be cavernous nothing with drapes along the whole top level.
No, but something happened first. I believe it was before NIL started kicking in when he had that, you know, mind-blowing recruiting class of like 5 5-stars. And then they lost, 4 of them after that year.
Yeah.
And I believe that was before NIL.
So yeah, I think it was the year before it really kicked in.
So, like I said, there's something else going on.
I don't know if it's how he coaches, like during practice or something like that, or like you said, maybe assistants or, you know, other faculty around him that he hired on. But there's some, it either, he either needs a clean, fully clean house, or I'm with you, he just has to be fired. Because, it, like I said, it's a dead program right now. There's no coming back from just a complete restart of some kind.
21 losses in a row, and you lose your best players to the transfer portal. Like,
you're like, even Drake, lose, said, you're like even Drake said, 21. Can you do something for me? I don't know.
He's losing dog shit players that average like 3 yeah. points a game.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to know what? Some of those dog shit players he lost today were 5 stars.
Yeah.
They were.
They were.
I think they were 2 5 stars and a 4 star that all transferred yep. today.
Van Sluten.
I heard of one of them. Well, I'd heard 2 of them. That third one, I had no idea.
Well,
and Van Sluten leaving. That's terrible.
That's a big one. Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. That's like a legacy for him, right? Because
yes.
older assistant yeah, that was, for him at Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. And it sucks because you can't even like see the news of like Oregon State's demise and like Talia Van Alhoeven transferring. You can't even get the joke off like come be a duck because you're like, oh, no.
Why? Yeah.
Why?
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 Why? Yeah. No.
Not this was football. Hey.
Then oh sure. Joke. Absolutely.
Oh. Shit. At this point, I'm intrigued to see what happens with baseball for the Beavs.
Oh, I think they'll be fine.
Oh, you mean baseball? You mean the, the second place Oregon State Beavers in the Pac-12?
Yeah,
second place.
Yes, I do. But yeah,
I do. Mighty Ducks at first.
Yeah, baseball's not affected that much with the realignment.
No, and just because baseball's a weird deal, partial scholarships and.
But they might lose NIL.
Fullerton and Fresno State have won titles. You know,
yeah.
Coastal Carolina won like 3 years ago. That's a weird.
But whatever small little pool they have of NIL money, it's just going to go down even more for the Beavs. So.
Yeah.
Do we want to? We're like close to an hour already. Do we want to talk about Coach Lachlan leaving to Ohio State? I mean, that's sort of been the big thing this week is Oregon losing its running backs coach to Ohio State, and then sort of the pithy back and forth through the media and Twitter between he and Lanning, where Lanning more or less is like, he wasn't very good and we can do better and now we're going to do better. Like, I think what he literally said was, it's an opportunity of growth for us. And, you know, I mean,
okay. Yeah. So his direct quote was, I know how great Oregon is, and I know this is a great opportunity for us to get better.
Yeah.
To which Coach Lachlan tweeted and deleted, number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your worth, and your own somebodyness. Don't allow anyone to make you feel that you're nobody. Always feel that you count. A quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. Hashtag, what's your life's blueprint? On the 56th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, he's giving Dan Lanning not one, but 2 Martin Luther King quotes today that he deleted almost instantly.
And this is the part where I remind you, loyal listener, that he is the one who left Oregon for Ohio State.
Because he's a co-op.
Co-op.
Yeah. He's a literal co-op.
Lachlan's a fucking co-op.
He's a fucking co-op.
he did not get fired and then hired by Ohio State. He left Oregon for more money, which good for you.
And 2 weeks ago, he got a new contract from Oregon. It just apparently wasn't good enough for him. And hey, Ohio State's on a war path this year. They want to win the Natty. They see an opportunity. Totally get it. Do I think Carlos Lachlan was a good running back coach? Yeah, I do. Do I give a shit about a running back coach?
Do you know he was a good running back coach is a thing?
I will give him credit because he did get Weddington and he did get Jordan James. Bucky, I don't think he had anything to do with Bucky coming. But he got those two. It clears like he's whiffed on every high school guy he's got. And don't forget when, was it Dante Dowdell?
Dowdell, huh?
when he transferred, the second after he transferred, he's on there. Lachlan's on there on Twitter saying no soft batch cookies here, and then deleting that shit too. Like, I never liked the guy. That is a man who always knew where the camera was. He never gave anyone credit. You know, there's a video out there. I think it's on Duck Territory where Matt Preem is asking him, so did you see the improvement from Bucky Irving this year? This is like mid last season. I mean, he had no choice. He played for me. Everyone improves like that. I only churn out. It's like, oh my God.
Does he have main character syndrome? It kind of feels like where
yes,
he's a running backs coach, yet he thinks he should be like spotlighted, like a head coach kind of thing, and like
yes,
it's all
yes.
him.
Like yeah. I don't need to hear from the running back coach. I don't need to hear from a wide receiver coach like that. Like there are some like if you're a coordinator or a head coach, even if it gets annoying, like some head coaches can be annoying. Okay. But you deserve to have the camera shoved in your face. Running back coach, man, if that line stinks or that quarterback stinks or you have no receivers, it doesn't matter how well you teach them to hit the gap. Like, it doesn't fucking matter, man.
And Lanning,
if the NFL has told us that position is disposable bodies. So I'm just under the assumption that the coaches are also a revolving door of disposable bodies.
I like this from WCB. Also, for the record, soft cookies greater than hard cookies. Agreed.
Erica, are soft Chips Ahoy better than hard Chips Ahoy? No. Yes, they are.
100%. Yes, they are. 1,000%. Soft is
better. No,
not even hard close.
One. Shit, still.
Pull the mic away from her.
Boo!
She doesn't get
tomato.
She doesn't get to talk on the podcast anymore.
You're banned.
Banhammer.
I'll get you one. Get out of here.
In the fucking trash.
We need to get the Banhammer shirts out.
I bought soft Chips Ahoy like 2 weeks ago from the store.
They're the best.
I thought that shit was awesome because it is.
They are. And
my youngest thought it was awesome. The wife and the oldest were it was terrible. I was like, Go eat your chalk
kick
cookie
rocks.
Somewhere else. Leave
kick
me alone. Nah.
Kick rocks.
I'm a man of sophistication over here.
They enjoy trying to break a tooth off on a fucking cookie. I mean,
yeah, your fillings fall out when you eat regular Chips Ahoy. That's why you got to dunk them in milk.
Ugh. Milk, exactly.
It's like eating a cardboard table or something. It's terrible.
Trash. Pure. No, that's what you do with them. You throw them in the trash. Which by the way, Lanning could have been way more petty with Lachlan if he wanted to. Because when you get your assistant coach a raise, you got to go to bat for them. Like, you have to talk about how great this person is to your boss and be like, I need you to get him more money. Like, this guy deserves it. Look at what Bucky did. Look at what blah, blah, blah did. You got to lie on his behalf out the ass to your boss to get this guy more money. He did that shit. He spent the time doing that shit. And then not 2 weeks later, this guy takes another job somewhere else. Like, again, I'm into it. Like, if you find an opportunity that gets you more money, higher profile even, or Ohio State's higher profile, yes.
Sure.
Take it. Fucking take it. I never begrudge a person for that. But, again, like, Lanning just went to bat for this dude. So he really could have been like, yeah, man, like, fuck that guy, you know.
He should have been.
He didn't though.
We're joining their conference too. He should have fucking torched him.
Yes. Well,
and like in some of the comments he has made or tweets or even just tweets about Lachlan moving, former, you know, whatever it was, recruiting coordinator guy, coach or Don Johnson was in the mentions being like, yes, it needs to be treated like a human, you know, all the stuff. And it's like, I understand that you're still upset that you weren't retained, but Mario didn't take you to Miami and you had a massive heart attack where you were hospitalized for like 4+ months and they kept you on staff with awesome health benefits. And I know that's to some people might sound lame. You go to a hospital for an hour, let alone 4 months. Like, let's see how that happens if you don't have insurance. Like, they did do you a solid by keeping you on staff, even if you weren't really on staff for a year plus. Yeah. And he's just out. He's out there too, just running his mouth. And it's an interesting. And hey, maybe in 4 years we find out Dan Lanning is the worst human on earth. Maybe he's Dan Mulkey. Who knows? I haven't seen that evidence yet, so I'm not going to jump to that conclusion. But when people move on, my guy, just move on.
Yeah, just
move on.
I think it's a double-edged sword where he's almost, like you said, when he had a lot of tweets calling, you know, kids transferring out, you know, soft batch, you know, shit like that. And then he leaves and everyone's supposed to treat him like, you know, a king leaving. Oh, no, the king's gone kind of shit. How many times did you hear from Dan Campbell in the 20 years he was the running backs coach at Oregon?
Gary Campbell.
30 years. I read about Gary Campbell. Yeah. I was thinking.
Dan Campbell would have been awesome.
Yeah.
biting some knees, baby.
Yeah. How many times do you hear from Gary Campbell in 30 years as a running back?
Yeah. Different. It's just different. And Gary Campbell coached well into the Twitter era. So.
Exactly.
You know.
We didn't hear from him until he retired and he came out in his fucking badass suits and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the only time we heard from him. Because I'm a position coach. He almost has nothing really to say to people. You coach a singular position.
You coach like four or five guys.
Yeah.
At any
given moment. I saw a picture on Instagram the other day of like the greatest running back room ever. It was Auburn at like Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown. It was four fucking dudes. That's a running back room. That's what you coach, by the way. I'm not going to say it's not hard. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a football coach myself. But you know what, my guy? In terms of football coaches, you coach the least amount of people.
And I think, in my eyes, you do the least amount of coaching.
Pretty much.
Hit the hole, run hard, and don't fumble.
Block.
Done. I'm a running and block. Yeah. Throw a little chip block in every now and then. You're not like an offensive line coach teaching technique and shit like that. Most of these guys already have most of it down, unless they're an idiot that doesn't wear fucking gloves when he should, tucking the ball in. And he could, and they couldn't even get him to put on fucking gloves.
And like that's the thing I've thought about with Coach Lachlan for the couple years he was here. Is I was like, the running back room is definitely better than it was when Mario was here. We survived the Jim Mastro era at running back coach because they still rushed for a bazillion yards. It was just ugly and we didn't like it and we knew they were bad. But like I said, it was an improvement, but it's not like we had a Herschel Walker, OJ Simpson. It's not the position. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, you didn't have the Alabama backfield there when, you know, NFL All-Pros are sitting for 2 years behind other NFL All-Pros.
Derrick Henry wasn't backing up Bo Scarborough for a CFP title team at Oregon. That's not exactly what we were doing here. No. When I saw the list of highest paid running back coaches, and Lachlan was like top 20 last year.
Who were like the top three?
So Lachlan last year, I think was at 400,000 even. And the top one was LSU, whoever that is, almost $1 million. Yeah. And then second place was Ohio State guy, and he was almost making 800,000. And now he's at Michigan. I don't even know their names.
Wasn't it Cadillac Williams?
He was on the list. I read the list, and I was like, unless you're Cadillac Williams, Deshaun Foster, and there are two or three other guys where I just know you were a running back. I don't know who any of these people are. And if you ask me, who's the Alabama wide receiver coach? Top of my head, I probably couldn't tell you. But if I'm watching Alabama LSU and they're like, here's whatever. I know it's Jamarcus Shepherd because he was at Washington. But there's a lot of guys who are like, oh, I do know that name. But I'm reading these running back coaches' names. I don't know who the fuck this is. Jim Farmer? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Wisconsin, you do run the ball a lot. So I guess good for you.
Weird. All right, we want to hop into our list. Do we have anything else? I know Ski wants to talk about Malachi Flynn scoring 50, but I think we'll probably save it maybe. I don't know.
I mean, who doesn't love the random guy averaging 3.6 points a game, dropping a 50 bomb?
All right, let's get to our list then. So it was announced today, we're recording this on April 4th, a Thursday, that the Oakland Athletics have signed a deal with the city of Sacramento to play their games next season and the season after that. And I think the season after that, too,
I think it's three seasons. Yeah.
The next three seasons. They're going to play in Sacramento. And I don't think the stadium's that big. It's like 10,000
seats, I believe it is.
Sounds about right, because nobody's going to want to go fucking see them. So makes sense.
I saw someone make a great point, or what they should do some with is in the Japanese baseball league, they will schedule out like, I think it's like three games a year for each team where they play games in random cities that like don't have a Japanese professional team there. Why wouldn't they do that with the A's? They're already playing in a minor league park. Move them around the fucking country some. Get them out there for people to see Major League Baseball games.
Is it wild that Major League Baseball signed off on this?
I mean, Manfred is... He's friends with Fisher, so I mean... It's wild that the players' union signed off on it.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. The facilities can't be good enough.
They're gonna
right?
have no. They're gonna ha- I guarantee they're gonna have to do some sort of facelift to that locker
yeah,
room.
Yeah, I think it's the locker rooms aren't good.
And just televise the games. They're gonna have to put in a lot
and,
of work.
There's something else. Like the bullpens don't have any cover shade. And there's a few other things that's like very basic that every MLB park has, even, you know.
Hey, John Fisher, I know a guy, Fat Kid Deals. You can get a couple tarps and you can just put those
in. There's some easy ups on there. I'm sure you can just throw a couple easy ups in the bullpen. But they're crazy. So the Red Sox just played a series with the A's. I watched all the games, almost all the games. During those broadcasts, they were talking about how they were like knocking a deal out for the A's to stay there for this 3-year gap before they leave. And then, yeah, right when that series ends, oh, they're signing on to go play in, you know, leaving this mat. I mean, no one's there, obviously. You don't need a place that's 40,000, but.
Did you see what the difference was between like monetarily, the money gap that made them leave for the 3 years was that Oakland was offering?
No, I did not.
$35 million over 3 years total. So, you know, $12.3 million a year or $11.3 million a year. And they're not going to make that up at the gate. Maybe the first year, but. And the whole thing is weird and it sucks and. You know, it just shows how callous capitalism can be because, you know, that Vivek Ranadive guy who owns the Kings was a big he owns the Sacramento River Cats where they're playing, the stadium they're playing in. And he's for years been pissed off at, you know, the guys who own the Warriors for leaving Oakland, going to the big city because, you know, he wanted the Warriors to go to the big city in the first place. Yeah. And he's in Sacramento and always pulling tea from Oakland. And it's just. It's gross. It's terrible, and it's gross, and I...
Fuck on Fisher.
Yeah. And hey, I mean, you know, in a few years, in 2030, I think, the Royals are going to move to somewhere, you know, and it's go sports, because their whole thing got turned down the other night, so go sports.
Go sports. Our list... Well, and, yeah, go ahead.
But, like, a tough thing, and... I agree. Sports owners should put more into their stadiums than they generally do. Like, that's why the sports owners didn't want Ballmer to buy the Clippers. Because they knew he would just write a blank check. Here's $6 billion. Buy this property, build this stadium. Because he's that rich to do it. Most of them are not. And that's not me defending them. But it... when an owner won't put any skin in the game, I really don't expect them to build stuff on their own, because it's just not how it works. Just, I wish they would, but they don't. But the failed son of the family that owns the Gap, Banana Republic, and Old Navy can't do a little bit of work to put in money. He can't put in more than 10%. Like, that's wild to me.
I still don't understand why you need to build like $1.5 billion baseball fields anyway.
Well, the whole thing now is you build a stadium, you put an entertainment district around it.
So they're factoring in all the entire build out.
Yeah. A lot of that. Yeah. But even that shit doesn't work, because if you've been to a Arizona Cardinals game, or where the Phoenix Coyotes used to play, they built an entertainment district around that parking lot. Shit sucked. And now the Coyotes are playing at ASU's 5,000, capacity stadium in Tempe. Like, it's all a scam. It all sucks. And I feel bad for DA. Sorry, I'm ranting.
I agree with everything you've said. Our list this week is top three Oakland A's. Came from Booble in the Discord. Again, Sports Brewery in Discord. Get in there. You can give us list suggestions. You can give us movie suggestions. All those things. It's a good time. Top three Oakland A's. This list was difficult for me.
Because depends what kind of criteria you went with.
I have
favorite, best, like.
I mean, favorite, right? My favorite Oakland A's. And this is tough too, because some of those are the best Oakland A's. Like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that's the Bash Bros, man. Like, by the way, can I combine them into one?
you can.
Yes,
I
think that's a lot.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Writing that down.
I think helps. I think you could throw the three pitchers from the early 2000s together too. Like, Mulder, Zito, Isringhausen.
Isringhausen, Hudson.
Huddy.
Yeah, Hudson.
Izzy's on that team too.
But I think his arm was kind of busted from
the bats. I think it was closing. I think it was actually closing.
I think he was the closer. Yeah, I think he was like an 88 mile an hour closer.
Yeah.
As much as I want to, I don't know that I can give you that, because they didn't have a nickname. And you got to have a nickname if we're going to combine people together.
That's fair.
Weren't they the three amigos? Isn't that?
Were they?
I thought they had a baseball
seems pretty lazy if they were.
I thought they had a Mariners style commercial.
Three white guys from the South. The three amigos.
Hey, man. That sounds like you're besmirching one of the best additions to film in history. The movie Three Amigos. Those are three white guys. So, I mean, come on.
they were actually known just as the Big Three.
The Big Three. They were the first Big Three.
Yep. From 2000 to 2004.
Somebody in the NBA owes those guys some money, man. Royalties. Yep. I love that. Okay.
It's your team. You started off.
God, this is so difficult. So two and one are fairly easy for me. Three is difficult because I feel like I want to just go favorite. And that's also difficult because, okay, how about I just give my list and then I'll have a bunch of honorable mentions. How about that? My number three is Dallas Braden.
Dallas Braden, the player, or what he currently is?
Both. Through a perfect game with the A's, also my favorite announcer of all time, probably. Favorite baseball color guy of all time, which is saying a lot, because there have been some legendary announcers, color guys in baseball over the years. I think he's probably my favorite. If you've ever watched an A's game and listened to him talk ball, listen to him call a home run, fantastic.
He's got his stupid little hats on.
Stupid.
His new little newsy hats.
His shoes. He wears like the shoes.
I do hate his hats.
I hate his hats.
Yeah. He wears like the A's colored shoes with like the long socks every game. Takes pictures of him, puts them on IG and stuff. He's great. I love him. By the way, this is so hard to pick number three. Okay, I feel okay. All right, go ahead.
My number three Oakland A of all time, Terry Steinbach.
I guess I'll just throw him in at third for me as well. He's on my list.
The Steinbach, Carney Lansford, Walt Weiss in like infield with, oh my God, so good. So good. That's my A's. All right, so those are both your number threes?
Yeah, I'll just throw them at three. Yeah.
Okay, my number two is the Bash Bros. McGuire and Canseco. I wore Canseco's number in kid sports basketball. I'm a redhead, so obviously I liked McGuire. God, they were fun to watch. Like, what was Canseco was like a 40-40 guy. I'll watch him. I loved him.
All the ridiculous stuff kind of was after he left Oakland too. You know, the
totally
ball hitting off his dome. I think he was in Texas then, and
for both
the
of them,
Rays years,
for both yeah. of them, Oakland was all good times for both of them. There was like nothing weird about either one of them while they were there. It was great. You know, by the way, I jumped ahead. I forgot the ones from the chat. Oh. So threes from the chat. Booble says Cespedes.
The illness.
WCP says Ricky Henderson, and says Braden is great on commentary. Yes. Okay. All right, your twos.
My number two, Manning, second base, Frank Menachino.
Which, by the way, Big Frank was an A for a little while.
Frank Thomas was an A. The Big
right.
Hurt.
That's right.
Big Hurt.
Oh man.
You ever buy any of his boner pills?
Not yet.
Apparently, the neighborhood women love them. I've seen that commercial. She's going to thank you, too.
If TV tells me anything, it's that Frank Thomas now has great boners.
All right. My number two, God, it was tough. I was trying to go with like a Moneyball era player. You know, I was thinking Jeremy Giambi. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Eric Chavez. Mm-hmm. I end up going with Miguel Tejada.
It's a great choice. It's a great choice.
Or Scott Hattieburg.
Nah. Hattieburg's only famous because of Chris Pratt. Let's be honest. Yeah, man. Tejada. That team was fun. All right. Twos from the chat. WCP says the Bash Bros. Booble says Dallas Brady. Love that.
That's a really nice originality there, fellas.
I know. I love it because I agree with it. All right. My number one is Ricky Henderson. What's not to love? All-time stolen base leader. Talked about, like, really the first guy to consistently talk about himself in the third person. Like, it's what's not to love, man? Ricky Henderson, leadoff home runs, stealing bases. I mean, I don't think he ever got in trouble for steroids, but clearly taking steroids that entire era. Like, I mean,
and that was the era before really the steroid era, where no one gave a shit.
Because they definitely were, but nobody cared yet. Totally,
because he was a little older than McGuire and Canseco, who were fucking roiding out hard. He was, you know, played longer. So I don't think anyone even noticed really or cared.
God, it's so fun looking back at players in that era when they first joined the bigs. Like, you know, McGuire, Canseco, even Bonds, like they were just these skinny, wiry players.
Sosa.
Sosa. And then after like 2 years, they're just fucking beasts.
Well, I mean, David Ortiz was David Arias and very skinny.
Yes. He's in Minnesota.
My number one Oakland A of all time, Eugene Emeralds legend, catcher Sal Fossato.
Also Royals legend. He's a legend everywhere he played.
Yankees legend.
It's impressive. We both have Sal's as our number one. My number one A is Sal Bando. The greatest A of all time. I think he was the captain for all their World Series there.
Love it. All right, time for some honorable mentions from me. You guys feel free to chime. Oh, from the chat, number one's WCP says Dennis Eckersley. Absolutely an honorable mention for me. And Booble says Chris Pratt. Yeah, I get it.
I just gave up that nuke, though, as an A, which was not optimal.
My honorable mentions, Coco Crisp. Obviously.
Jermaine Dye.
Jermaine. Come on, Jermaine.
Love it.
Come on, Jermaine.
Love it. Jonas Cespedes, Chavez, who you mentioned. Raleigh Fingers. No Raleigh Fingers mention. Also,
they're old. Same with Catfish Hunter. They're old.
Dave Stewart is another one for me. Like the scariest looking stare down you will ever see on a mound, and then the highest pitch voice you've ever heard. He's basically like Michael Jackson in an interview. It's hilarious.
How is no one mentioned Todd Van Poppel?
I mean,
I believe he was the number one overall pick.
So. Todd Van Poppel. What about Bob Welch?
I was just thinking Bob Welch. Has there been a worse ace? He was an ace for like a decade, and he threw like 82.
Also,
Ruben Sierra.
Ruben Sierra is a good one. good ones from good honorable mentions. Lots of them, by the way, from the chat here. WCP says Reggie Jackson. He was an A.
He was a Yankee.
He's going like old school here. Catfish Hunter, yeah. Vita Mine's Blue. Like, yeah, I mean, were they Kansas City A's? I don't even know.
No,
no,
no.
Okay, all right.
No, they were.
These are good. Booble says John Lester, Jeff Samardzija, and Yan Gomes.
Yan Gomes.
Yeah.
Is he just listing all ex Cub players that just
me? John Jaha.
John Jaha.
Oh my God. Sean Doolittle. Yeah, good call. Lively Pod says Doolittle. That's good. I like this, by the way. Booble saying we should do top three Red Sox, top three Royals the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like be short it. List on one of those.
Well,
you think?
Yours is,
you think? Royals,
I actually got my top three Royals on my head right now, but I'll
save it. We need the content, man. It's like we're coming up on baseball season. We need content, okay? Like, come on. WCP also adds Tim Hudson. Yeah,
was there a
anyone mentioned Scott Spezio?
I was gonna say Todd Hundley. Did he have some years?
Was Todd Hundley an A? Ooh.
I feel like Todd Hundley.
Feels like Todd Hundley was an A.
Yeah, let's just name guys from the Moneyball movie, like Dave Justice. How about Dave Justice?
What are you guys' thoughts on Ben Grieve?
Damian Easley. He was
Milton Bradley from Booble. Yes, sir. This was a fun list. This feels like a Viking funeral for me.
Here's the real question. Name a current A.
Who's the dude who just got sent to AAA even though he's hitting like 450?
Like, Ruiz? Like SD Ruiz, I think it was.
Yeah. No, he legitimately is their best player this year and they optioned him to AAA.
I'm a little surprised. He didn't mention a very particular A who was also a Red Sox legend.
Johnny Damon, a piece of shit.
No, oh no, no. Mark Belhorn.
Oh, fucking Mark. That's a fucking double ear flap. Fucking Mark Belhorn.
Marky Mark.
Mac.
Not a fucking cop.
Mark Belhorn might be a fucking cop.
We got Barry Zito, Ted Lilly.
Oh, I love me some Ted Lilly.
Nick Martini, Greg Balfour.
Fucking Balfour, that guy's fucking
Balfour crazy. Rage, says Lively Pod.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
This is fun. This is fun.
Again, name a current A.
Can I just say something?
Well, who's the guy who got busted for roids last year?
He's probably not on the team.
He is. No, he's. Kid. What's his name? I can't remember it. I haven't thought about them in so long. Fuck it.
Are you guys aware that Goose Gossage was an Oakland Athletic in 1992?
Yes.
I did not know that.
No way. 92? He was on the bump with Ron Darling? I find that hard to believe.
Very hard.
Mets announcer, Ron Darling.
Yeah. Ron Darling, another good one.
Mike Piazza, Oakland A's legend. Jamie Quirk.
Terrible. Which roster are you looking at right now?
It shot me to like Goose Gossage, and it says he's on 92. That's where Jamie Quirk came from. I don't believe Goose Gossage played in the 90s. I refuse to believe it.
Yeah,
I find that very hard to believe.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We've done way too long of a podcast. Let's give a couple more before we're done.
Goose Gossage played in 1994 for the Seattle Mariners. That's not true.
There was no way he ever played for the fucking Mariners.
43.
I refuse to believe that.
You got any more, Ski?
The internet's lying.
I don't know. Benito Santiago, did he?
Wrong Gans.
I feel like you're just naming baseball players now that were.
Ron Gant did play for the Eagles.
I'm trying to think of guys in that, the old, like, I'm thinking 80s guys.
Dave Henderson, was he an A? I know he 100%. Was. I think he was, 100%. And then he also played for the Giants, so that was sort of weird, but. Zach
Galifianakis. This is our longest podcast in like two years.
By far. WCP says Zach Geloff plays for the A's right now.
Yeah. So it's like JD Davis.
That team
is so fucking bad.
He said he used Google, so that's cheating. All right. Movie on Sunday. Biodome. It's on Prime.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's definitely got that going for it. I will say it set a record for one of the rating systems we use for the podcast. So watch it on Prime. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Thank you for watching this long, and thank you for listening this long. See you on Sunday. Goodbye.
Goose Gossage, ERA 4.18 as a Mariner in 1994. Jesus. Fake.
Might have been the best fucking player.
Not real. Can't be real. It's fake
news. That's fake.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good. We're leaving the podcast with fake news. Fantastic work, King. Good job.